Welcome to 0 o'clock.
A podcast created to be a safe space to learn and grow. Grab your favorite drink and join us.
Now brewing on my way.
Welcome. I am your co-host, Kay.
And I'm your co-host, Carrot. It is episode 2, season 5.
I love it. All right. What are you drinking?
I'm drinking water. I have been so dehydrated recently. Where you know where you can like feel it in your body that you're dehydrated?
Mm-hmm.
Yep, that's me. So I'm trying to drink water again. I was on a ginger ale kick for a while. So that's all I drank.
I am drinking water. I don't know why I said it like that, but I'm drinking water.
Yeah.
Water.
I don't know. I clearly am on a binge. I didn't eat today, okay? And so all of a sudden I got hungry.
I tried ice cream from Trader Joe's for the first time like 2 weeks ago, and it's so good. I got the ice cream sandwiches,
oh,
the ones that are
good.
Like half dipped in
Mm-hmm.
chocolate. So good.
Yeah, Trader Joe's is such a gem.
It is. Kat was here a few weeks ago, or last week, or 2 weeks ago. I don't even remember, but whatever. She was here, never been to Trader Joe's before, and so I took her to Trader Joe's. Man, where we went to school, they need to step it up. How do you not have a Trader Joe's?
I know.
To be fair, we've had one and I didn't really know what it was until like a few years ago. So
yeah, it's real, but they've also really stepped up their game. Like I think that's also it.
Yeah, but yeah. I could go for some Trader Joe's ice cream, or like people call it TJ's.
Yeah. Oh my god, I have many names for it, but anyways. So welcome to episode 2. We're gonna talk about burnout, you know, fancy schmancy way of life. Just a way of life.
Mm-hmm.
The song is On My Way by Epic High, and as you all know, I heavily invest in my music and really dig deep into every single little thing. And so Epic High recently released their new album a couple of weeks ago, not by now. And this is one of their songs. It's actually their song with Jackson Wang. And so, yeah, I have all, like, ever since, I feel like BTS, like, introduced me to Epic High because they obviously see them as such, like, really great role models. And when I found them, I realize just how much of amazing music they really make. And when this song, or when this album, EP, whatever it is, got released, a lot of their songs are really good, but this one is like really, really good because I like the end part where he goes, "I quit my job today," which is why like I was like, oh my god, wait, this would actually be really great for this episode, because later on, as I kept reading out to the lyrics, it talks about like you can connect it to many different aspects of it, but especially when we think about burnout, because it's like kind of talking about how tired we just are of being. Like sometimes being is exhausting. Like and I really like the way that he ends where I quit my job today and I'm sick of all the sad songs, and it's just like we're literally exhausted people existing, you know. But yeah,
well, I've never heard the song, and I just looked at the lyrics and I feel like it just sums it up. This line right here is how I feel the second I walk into my workplace. It says, "I'm gonna need you to shut up for a minute."
I love the way that he starts it off. Like, I genuinely do. Because he also says it really funny. I think we can play it for a bit. You know, as long as it's not 7 seconds, we're good with copyright. But yeah, this is a song that has actually been on replay for a bit because it's good. Need you to shut up for a minute. Snip it up. That's like legit. Anyways, we're able to hear it. I put it really low. I don't know why.
Yeah,
But
we heard
anyways,
it.
yeah. It's just, it's really
The
funny.
album is called Strawberry.
Yeah.
I
Yeah.
should give it a listen.
Yeah, it's a really good album.
I've fallen off of music. I haven't listened to music like I used to in the past 8 months because it was one of my triggers, but everything in my life was, so whatever. Let's not make it my personality, but is it? It kind of is.
It's also a very short EP, so it's a really quick listen. Yeah, that song is with Jackson Wang. He also did a song with Fossa, and then I think that's it. The rest are like sort of interlude vibes, ish, sort of. But anyways, I thought it was just incredibly appropriate for today's episode. And so yeah. So what is burnout is the big question, right? And so I was looking at a couple of articles again because I am such a factual based person, and I don't know. That was where my degree is at. So I'm meant to like figure everything out through data points. But basically, according to the World Health Organization, they describe burnout as, or it's diagnosed by four symptoms. So one of them is feelings of energy depletion, exhaustion, and fatigue, increased mental distance from your job. This is more looking accurately at job, burnout and the way that they were studying it. Feelings of negativism or cynicism related to your job. Reduce professional efficacy. And so yeah, they were looking at this also because of I found this really interesting at the start of their article where they were saying how Slack apparently also did a survey, which I found it really funny because Slack is the bane of my existence and I hate Slack. So but they were also looking at burnout and in the workforce. And they Slack through the survey found that burnout is rising globally in the US, especially where 43% of middle managers reported burnout, which I found very interesting because as the article that I was looking at, or that we like I shared also with Carrot, it was mainly looking at again, burnout in the workforce, but also what burnout looks like and its solutions. And most of the time, there is no solution because then the next person that gets burnout is the person trying to alleviate the burnout of the other coworkers or the other, especially when it comes to like managers and supervisors, they're the ones that are trying to alleviate the amount of burnout that quote unquote lower level employees feel. That they then increase their own level of burnout to people in high management. And so then, therefore, it becomes a cycle of literal burning out in the workforce.
Yes, and to note that burnout is different from just being normally stressed out about your job. And it was talked about in the article how it's normal to feel stress after a long day or a long week, but burnout is a way more enhanced feeling. It's literally crippling, as said in the article. Experiencing it, it's a lot. I liked that it said that it is a people killer and a career killer, because it is like you go from it. It's different from just like, I don't really feel like doing this today, like that type, to literally hating your job and your life because this is what you have to do. Like it's two different things, and it can be confusing. like confusing, and people do confuse it. And I feel like if you're not well, like educated on it, like you're not going to realize that you might be experiencing it, which is okay. I think it's that's what this episode is about. Like, burnout is honestly such a very new concept, and it wasn't really talked about until COVID, and the burnout from COVID, the burnout after COVID, getting back into the real world. And I think it's just interesting that I feel like COVID showed us how much we have been working, like how tiring life is. And then we went through a period of literally nothing. So to go back into the world and do what we were doing before, it's really exhausting because we were working hard and we didn't realize how hard it was. And we were brushing it off and like pushing it to the side. And I don't know how to solve this. No, I don't think anybody really knows how to solve it right now, but it's a serious thing. So serious that when I actually interviewed for my job, one of the questions was, how do I prevent burnout for myself? And how do I take care of myself if I am feeling burnt out? I think another question that should be added is, what can your job do for you to prevent and help you when feeling that way? But like I said, the fact that these questions are even coming up just shows how significant it is in our like era right now, our society right now.
Further on into like the article, they were also like saying that Gallup, which does a lot, like they're like the, what would they say? Like what would you describe it? Like the place that does surveys and like complete, like the most accurate place where you can get like data points through surveys. So a Gallup poll founded the primary causes of burnout at work. And they classified it as unfair treatment and unmanageable workload, lack of role clarity, and a lack of communication and support from a manager, which is the point you were touching at right now, right? And while at work, one of the things right now we're doing is interviewing people, right, for the positions and roles that are opening up for our next school year. And there's a portion within their hiring process that they have to be interviewed by current staff. And so it's really scary because I've never interviewed anyone before. So it's like I last year when I was doing it for the first time, I was really nervous and I'm like, what do you even ask? Like, what it even is what you should be asking? But I think as the more that I started to do it, the more I realized I was like, okay, it's to get a feel of the person, but also to see where they're at and to see also how well they'll mold into our environment. And I think these are like really good questions. And a lot of them we do like there's like a set of questions that they like preempt for us. And so a lot of them are like, how do you best receive feedback and how well do you work within a team and all these things. But I think that the one that really always sticks out to me, right, is like, how do you receive feedback? What is the best way that you take that feedback? And so sometimes, especially in I obviously work in a very different aspect of the school. So when it comes to operations and functioning and all of that, right? When there is no lack of communication, when there is that lack of communication, sorry, and when you really feel like your role isn't clear and you're constantly doing things, but you don't even know if you're doing it right, like that's where the burnout comes in, right? Because you're doing things that you don't even know how to do or what to do. It's very different from, again, how we were talking about, right? A stressed level environment where it's like you have to get things done in a timely manner, but you know what it is that you're doing. When you don't know and you're walking into a space where you don't feel welcome, you don't feel encouraged, you don't feel support, and there is no clear communication, and you're being told to do a lot of things that you clearly have no idea how to do. The levels of stress increase, therefore the feeling of burnout starts to become. And so it's really interesting to see how like COVID played a huge role into that. I was also reading another article about a lot of people who work from home and are now being like quote unquote forced to come back into the office, especially for New Yorkers, where a lot of people actually moved out of the city and decided to move to a lot of more suburban areas. And like I was reading this thing where like somebody has to do a 5-hour commute every single day because they were working from home, and now their office is requiring them to come to the office every single day now. And it's like, do I leave my secure job, or do I make the 5-hour commute every single day to make ends meet?
Mm-hmm.
Again, right? Increasing that support towards burnout, whether we realize it or not, but that's where it comes in, right?
I can imagine. 5 hours.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my gosh. But I do think like a big part of it is your support system. And not like your support system in terms of like the people you surround yourself like personally, but your professional support system has to be there or it goes downhill, because you're now not getting the help that you need from the people who should be helping you.
Mm-hmm.
And in terms of like my job, there are also like different aspects of like how burnout and how like not feeling supported can happen. And there are things that I guess like as an educator, I specifically need to work on and to understand and like be okay with. So like you're not always going to be supported with by parents. Like parents are not always going to support what you're doing. But one thing I need to work on is like being okay with that. Because I guess I'm a people pleaser. I want to make everybody happy. And if a parent's not happy, I feel like it's my fault and it takes like a whole toll on me.
Mm-hmm.
But like those are things, at least in this job that I have, that like you can't really change. Like there's always going to be a parent that doesn't agree with something. So how do you not let that like add to your level of stress and burnout? But I guess with your like managers, supervisors, your bosses, like how can they help? And you mentioning they're also being burnt out trying to figure out how to help you, that's like what we're experiencing right now at my job with our principal, of where the teachers are tired, but the principal, like imagine how tired the principal feels like trying to help their teachers, but there's no like possible solution right now. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it's a systemic thing. Like there are things that we literally cannot change that would make it better, but we can't change it. So what can you do to reverse burnout? And if is that even a thing? Like mm-hmm. how do you fix that? Like I feel like I know, right? Because mm-hmm. everybody's like, oh, how to prevent burnout, how to prevent burnout. But what happens after you mm-hmm. are burnt out? Like how do you go back?
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think anybody knows.
Yeah.
But what's scary is how many people are burnt out. But one thing when I like mentioned when bringing this topic up to Kay is, are we throwing burnout around too easily nowadays? Like mm-hmm. has it become something where it's just like, oh, I'm burnt out? Like I feel like are we taking it seriously, or are people taking advantage of feeling burnt out?
Mm-hmm.
And that's another thing where I feel like you won't truly know. But the amount of people that are burnt out is ridiculous. And I'm not saying like, oh, you're a liar. But are people truly burnt out, or do we just not know the difference?
Mm-hmm. I think also, right, like, I think we also have to remember, for a really long time, we were stuck in a literal virtual world and working from home, or like learning from home and all of these aspects, right? And so everything became accessible, or quote unquote accessible, at a like flick of a wrist. Mm-hmm. And so things that used to be, you know, I think it used to be very like, before, like, I hate to say it like this, but pre-COVID, right? There were set boundaries when it came to your work life and your personal life, right? Mm-hmm. After 5 p.m., work didn't exist. Work was out of the question. You didn't have to worry about work, for the most part, I feel like, right? But then when we all became sucked into the virtual world and we all were working remotely one way or another, it didn't matter what time of day it was. You had access to all of your work. Mm-hmm. You had access to every little tidbit. And so if you were not responding to an email, it was very obvious you were ignoring somebody, right? Because everyone was online. Everyone mm-hmm. had access. There was literally no way you weren't online. And so I feel like now that people are returning to, like, quote unquote normal life and going back into the work field, it almost feels like that expectation is still there of constantly mm-hmm. being on your phone and being there 24/7. And so when you're not responding to something or whatever it is, whatever the case may be, or if you're not done with the project within X amount of time, what are you doing, right? And so almost mm-hmm. like your own work integrity is being questioned, when in reality, you're trying to set boundaries for yourself, but then the expectation from your leaders or your supervisors or managers are different than what you expected, right? And so again, increasing that level of burnout because you're meant to like feel that you're supposed to be working 24/7, even though before COVID, that was not a thing. That was not a reality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like I get what you're saying, where it's like we worked like nonstop. Like you're always working at home when you work from home and not being able to set that boundary. But I also think it's kind of the opposite too, where depending on whatever job it is, like maybe it was easier to mm-hmm. be online. Mm-hmm. Like in the beginning, it was hard for everybody, like learning how to work online and learn online or do whatever you had to do remotely was a challenge. But once you got used to it, for some people, like it was just easier to work from your computer in the comfort of your home. So going back to work and going back to what we normally would do now feels like a struggle when it used to not be. Like even something simple in my job, which I can only speak on my job because I don't know how other jobs work, but for teaching, like you're teaching remotely, you can sit, you do everything on your computer, you have your Google Slides, your Microsoft, whatever you have up on your screen. Like maybe it hurts your eyes or whatever, but at least you're sitting. But then you're back in the classroom, and teaching is also a physical job. So the amount of standing, walking, sometimes restraining a child if you have to, if that's in your contract and you're allowed to do that, mm-hmm. like those things that were normal before COVID is now not normal. So now you feel even more burnt out trying to get back to the pre-COVID normal. But the question is, like, will we ever actually get back to pre-COVID normal? Like, I think burnout, there's a lot of aspects to burnout. Do we solve burnout by realizing that there is a new normal and we stop trying to force ourselves into what used to be normal? Mm-hmm. Or do people just suck it up and deal with burnout, like keep pushing forward, and just find a way to deal with the burnout.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Like I don't know what the answer is, mm-hmm. but either way, you're getting burnt out. You're getting burnt out trying something new, or you're getting burnt out trying to do what you used to.
Mm-hmm. I think my PO on it, right, is more of the sense that I just think, like, again, remembering, right, we almost went 2-3 years, right, COVID era, which means a lot more people were entering the workforce for the very first time. And mm-hmm. so that also includes, right, people not knowing what pre-COVID workforce looked like. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of
that's where, like, managers and bosses have to take the step and, like, show them.
Well, yeah, but I also think, right, that when we think about, like, who steps up to the leadership positions, right, maybe you're stepping into the leadership position for the first time during COVID. And so you don't know what it's like to be a leader in the actual office, right? People are stepping into new roles and new settings constantly all the time. So it's like, what makes a good leader? What makes a bad leader? Well, do you even have, you know, I feel like it's such a slippery slope when it comes to that, because it's like, everything is so different no matter where you are in the workforce that you're in. And so it all just, like, genuinely looks different, right? Like, if I was doing this job pre-COVID, it looks a lot, like, for example, my manager, right, the one that I work with right now, who is technically my direct supervisor, she has worked in the workforce pre-COVID, and so she during this time was put into leadership positions, but she wasn't equipped, she wasn't prepared, and she ended up falling into the leadership positions during COVID. And so now, and I'm not saying she's a bad or, like, horrible supervisor or boss, that's not what I'm trying to get at, but it's also like the only way that she's able to enhance the skills right now is because she has someone who know what it's like to be a leader pre-COVID. And so, you know, now she is able to look up to someone else to teach her the ropes, right? Mm-hmm. And so, again, good or bad leader, right? What are you doing? But also, it's like, it's a very, like, again, slippery slope, because it differs in every single team. And were you equipped or not before COVID? It's also the really big thing. And are you ready to equip the people that have never stepped into the workforce for the first time? Mm-hmm. And so then comes in the question, or the, what would it be? Like, the insight of supervisors also being burnt out. That's literally where it comes in, right? Where it's like, you're now having to learn a new set of skills. You're having now to learn a new type of environment, which is post-COVID, what that looks like for the rest of your employees and whoever it is that you're supervising. And then, were you ever equipped in the right way or not before COVID, during COVID, and then post-COVID era, right? And how does that look like for you? And so how can you, as the direct supervisor, even avoid burnout for your other, like, for the rest of your teammates, when you yourself don't even know what it is like to manage that, what it's like to navigate all of that?
Mm-hmm.
So again, it's like such a slippery slope, and like, it's a very, like, team to team based, but it's just so difficult to pinpoint any of it. And so people, I think, going back to, like, the earlier point, right, where it's like, well, do we just say we're burnout just to say we're burnout? But I think that is the, like, it has become normalized in the sense of, like, we all just know what it feels like.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I think that's generally what it is. Like, we all know what it is to feel burnout. That, yes, we do throw it around, but it's true. Like, it is a valid statement. Everyone has felt the burnout, but it differs team to team, or it differs workforce to workforce. And I don't think there has been a single being that has not felt burnout.
Mm-hmm. Especially, like, in the past 3 years, I think, like, depending on like where you are in your career, I guess, like your type of burnout is also different because there are teachers who obviously worked pre-COVID and then they had to learn how to do teaching COVID. But then there are teachers that started teaching in COVID and now they're learning how to do teaching back in person. And then there are people who are starting this year that didn't like realize that there is a difference between online and in person. So they don't get what the big deal is between the people all complaining. And everybody's just burned out for all these different reasons. So what do you do to help the burnout? And is it, I don't think that the way that you manage burnout, it doesn't matter the type of burnout I feel, like in your job, like different teams, whatever, it doesn't matter what you're going through, like you're experiencing burnout. So what can we do or to help ourselves, but like what can other people do like to help the people feeling burnt out? And I think that's where the issue is. Like, everybody feels burnt out. Everybody feels burnt out for different reasons. Is there a common way to at least help these feelings like go away? Because I feel like it's too hard to find a common way to prevent it. Since everyone's burnt out in so many different ways, there is no common way to prevent someone's burnout, but at least find a common way to help treat it. But like the article said, it's not taking days off. It's not going on a vacation. It's not working less hours because at that point of burnt out, like it is so deep into how you're feeling that, like, what do you do? There's no. A week of vacation doesn't do anything. A week off from school is nothing. Like having this day off in March, is it going to not make March be a hectic month in the education world? Who knows? But it's such a tricky topic.
Yeah, it is. And like, I think that's why there hasn't been a consensus on what a solution could be, because it just looks so different everywhere, right? Burnout looks so different. I think I'm trying to, like, how do I say it? Like, what is it? What's the word? Like, generalize it in a way. It, again, I think I will always come back to this. It's very team oriented. It's very team on team basis, where you just have to, I hate saying this, but you just have to trust your team, right? And sometimes that's the tricky part, right? Because again, one of the big points that was emphasized is lack of communication and clarity, right? And so when that is not seen within your team in general, not even just your supervisor, like your team in general, when there is no communication or clarity, then everyone in your team is going to feel the burnout. Everyone in your team, whether it's one person, but that one person slacking is going to affect your team as a whole. And so it's just working on trusting your team, I think, is the real, not, I'm not going to say it's a solution, because again, solutions vary and solutions look different for everyone else, but I think that's a way to start, right? Learning how to trust your team to help and support you. And I think the biggest mistake on the whole burnout situation is that we have relied on the upper management to kind of take that burn to try and fix it, because there are quote unquote leaders and are supposed to know what to do. But it's again, a very new concept that we're navigating. How do we expect upper management to know how to deal with it when this is the first time we're all really seeing it play out in a very large basis? And so it's, you have to learn how to work with your team. And I think that's where that skill of teamwork comes in. And it's like, this is the point where you have to learn to trust one another and know how to rely on each other and know how to basically, you know, take their strengths and pull them into your own to make your work just as valuable, and know when to leave work at work, right?
I know. It's like it's so hard because in the moment when you are feeling like unsupported, mm-hmm. it's hard to take a step back and realize that like the people that you are looking to get support from also has absolutely no idea like what the fuck to do.
Mm-hmm.
And like in the moment it's hard, but then you realize it and you're like, okay. But I guess like it's okay to have those feelings at the moment. It's okay to like for both people to feel however they feel. I do, but like you said, like communication is what's going to at least solve it. But if there's a lack of communication, that's adding to the burnout, like that's a problem. And I guess like at least where I am right now, that is our issue, because we need more support. We're not getting the support. They might not know how to support, but nobody's communicating. And when some people do try to step up to communicate, like they're shut down by somebody else, and it's just a team that's not working together.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't think they realize that by being that way, it's just causing more burnout on top of feeling burnt out for whatever the situation is.
Mm-hmm. Back to my professional development. Right now we're doing like this really like long series on conversations of equity, mm-hmm. and what that looks like. And one of them was about this, right? And not about burnout in a sense, but like what it looks like with a team that just doesn't support and doesn't respond to your needs and your let's just keep it at that, right? Your needs. And one of them, what is it? The conversations that we needed to have was uncomfortable conversations, or the she phrased it in the conversations not had. And so we had to do a lot of like role playing on conversations that we never had, and what that made us feel, and what not voicing our concerns, like what the outcome of that was. And a lot of them, right, had to deal with either a teacher going up to the principal, right, and voicing their concern of them not being heard and not like not supported in a certain decision, right? And a lot of the times the person impacted the most was the student, right? And so when we don't have these conversations, because most of the time what would it be like the reason why we don't have these conversations, whatever it may be, is because we're scared. We're scared of feeling rejected, or we're scared of feeling like turned down. But it's like, that's the point, is not to have, or the whole reason behind the conversation is to voice the fact that you don't feel heard and understood, right? And so whatever it may look like, right? I'm not saying specifically to you, but especially when it comes to, again, your team not supporting you, right? When you don't voice that concern, when you don't tell your team, hey, I don't feel supported in X, Y, and Z because, and this is making me feel this way because, like, if we don't become transparent that way, none of the things that we want get done, right? And so for us, right, most of the time that looks like in a school setting, but in any other job, in any other workforce, it literally looks like teams malfunctioning, teams not working together, and probably like going into like fires all the time because they don't trust their teammates. And so it's really interesting to see the way that the conversations we don't have really impact our relationships with anyone, but especially when it comes to our jobs, and basically letting ourselves be kind of manipulated into doing certain things that we're not comfortable with, but it's because we don't voice the concerns from the get-go, right?
Mm-hmm. Obviously, like, every job is different, so like the things that you're burnt out by will be different. So like I don't it really depends. Everybody, the thing is that everybody gets burnt out. So what do we like do about it? Like talking about like generalized like burnout, like as a sense, like what can we do to prevent this? Or how do you go back from feeling burnt out? And what is the work that needs to be done once you've felt burnt out? And while I guess in the workplace, yeah, it's important to be like supported by your higher ups and your team members, but sometimes at the end of the day, like leaving work at work, like it's just work. So how do you go home and how do you take care of yourself so you can go back and like face the people who might not be supporting you in the ways that you would wish they would or could do it? Because sometimes you want support that you aren't getting, and that's honestly because they just can't do it. Like it's impossible to support you on something, at least in my job. Like there's just some things in the education world that you want, but you can't have because it's a whole system that is broken. But how do you like take a step back? You leave work at work and you take care of yourself and not rely on other people to do it for you from feeling burnt out. Like for me, we like talked about self-care, but what like setting boundaries too. So like I've told myself I will not let myself like stay at work until 6 p.m. like I used to last year. Like by 4:30 I am checked out, and I don't ever bring anything home. Like I used to bring grading and stuff home. I don't bring any of that stuff home. And the only time I'll check an email, if it's like if I'm home but it's before like 5, I will answer your email. If not, like I don't. So like yeah, like being burnt out and trying to take care of yourself can be like simple things like a self-care day, but it's also like just setting boundaries for yourself, which can be hard because like we were saying, we're used to answering people 24/7 because it's right in front of us. So just learning how to reintroduce those boundaries again is not really something that anybody can do for you. It's something you need to work on yourself.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I was actually going to say that, right? Like, I was going to say mine was like silly or whatever, but no, like, I think it's a huge like step for me. I had to do my template for my mid-year review a couple of months ago. Not really a couple of months, it was like 2 months ago, but I'm having my mid-year review this week, and one of the things was like, it was one of like our wellness goals, and so like what it was that we wanted to do for ourselves to again avoid burnout, but also to check ourselves and make sure that we're coming into work 100%, but also leaving fulfilled without feeling drained. Right. And so one of the things that I put, right, was that I was constantly taking work home without noticing. And one of those was having the Outlook app on my personal phone. I do still have Slack on my personal phone just because sometimes I'm really bad at looking at my work phone. And so I miss the Slacks coming in. And I know I always have my personal phone with me. So it's like, and it I just need my personal to have Slack. But I had Outlook on my phone, and teachers would constantly like submit a lot of requests through the night because again it's the time that they have, and so they're working also from home, but these emails will bombard me and I just felt overwhelmed looking at them. And they would come in at 7, 8 p.m. and I'm trying to relax, I'm trying to do my own thing, but it's like I'm already overwhelmed for the next day, and it's like all I would think about. And then I would come to work, or I would leave even before I would leave my house in the morning. I was already stressed out, mentally ticking off my personal to-do list on like everything I have to do at work in a matter of hours. But now, I've taken off Outlook from my personal phone and I don't even look at my work phone. That's something I did implement since last year of not looking at my work phone. once I leave the school building. And I don't look at it until I'm in the school building. Like, that is something I feel like I learned because of the people in my team. But it works really well with what I'm trying to, like, implement myself on. And so now I go to work literally stress-free. Like, I don't even think about work until I'm, like, approaching the building. And I'm like, all right, now time to, like, mentally check myself in. And mm-hmm. I think that has helped a lot with reducing a lot of, like, my own anxiety, but also coming to work 100%. Because I feel like before, I would come in 75%, and the other 25%, I was already yearning to be back home and relaxing. And now I definitely don't feel that.
Yeah, like, I kind of do the same thing in terms of, like, my brain and my own thinking. Like, I have, my phone is 24/7 on do not disturb for my own personal reasons, so most of the time I don't see what's going on anyways. But in terms of, like, my own thinking, I miss Carrot. I'm like, I'm either gonna be Miss Carrot or just Carrot for what I'm, like, whatever it is. Like, if I see an email and I notice that it's like 6 or 7 p.m. Miss Carrot will deal with that in the morning. So I kind of go by, like, a 10, 14, like, difference, like, 14 hours of just Carrot, like, goodbye, I don't got time for this, and then 10 hours of Miss Carrot. So I'm kind of the opposite in terms of when I wake up, like, I automatically put myself in Miss Carrot mode. So even though I'm, like, getting ready for work, I'm already in my mindset of, like, I need to make copies of this. This lesson has to be taught this day. Oh, we're having this guest come in, so I need to move this. So, like, I, like, prep myself beforehand. And then after school, I give myself my time to plan and make more copies and just get myself ready by, like, 4:30 or, like, 5. And what's something that's really, really helpful is that my, like, gym classes are usually at 5:30, or my therapy sessions are around, like, 4:35. So once I've, like, entered those things, like, that's no longer Miss Carrot. Like, she don't do those. But so it helps me, like, having just different mindsets and, like, physically, well, not physically, because I'm not physically, like, flipping a switch, but, like, flipping a switch into my different, I guess, like, personalities or whatever helps me too, because it's just setting a boundary for my own brain. So I think that's helpful, but it's hard to get there. It really is, especially if, like, Kay and I, like, we've only been working, like, an adult job for 2 years. Like, we're still new to this. And, like, going into a new job, a new career, like, you want to do the best that you can. So, and you think by working 24/7 is doing the best that you can. It's, like, showing them that you are the person that they hired. But, and right now, what sucks is that being the person that they hired is even harder than it used to. So you're working, like, 10 times harder than somebody who's older than you, who started working, like, years ago. So you're burning yourself out in such a short amount of time. I constantly tell myself, like, I should not have felt the way that I felt after my first year of teaching. Like, I should have not hated my career choice that much after 1 year.
I think also for me, and, like, I totally agree, right? Like, we're still working and finding our middle ground, right? Like, we're still super new to the workforce and we're finding what works best for us. I think this year for me, it was really hard. And I'm still working on it. Like, it's not 100% done. But setting my boundaries with my peers and my coworkers, I think that's such a tricky, that's really the tricky part for me, because it's like, where do I set my boundaries professionally, but also how do I respect my own space, right? And make sure that you're respecting me and my space. And so it was really tough to, like, figure that out this year because of how my role responsibilities were increasing, which meant people did rely on me a lot more. But it's also like, I'm only human and I can only do so much, and I'm not Superwoman, and it's like I can't be present everywhere. And how do I allow everyone else to respect my space, especially when it comes from upper management, right? Like my principal requesting things last minute, and how do I be respectful to him, but also recognizing his role as the literal leader of our school. Mm-hmm. And so it was a really tricky, slippery slope, but I began to set boundaries little by little, and people were so respectful of it. And it got to the point where people were actually like so happy. They were cheering me on because they were like, thank you for setting the boundary, because now I see, right? Like, you did need the time. And there are people who are not as generous and whatever. But at the end of the day, I think now, right? Like, recently I won an award at my school, but it reminded me, right, that even though I was setting my boundaries, and I felt like maybe there were times where I was coming off as like not rude, but in the sense of like sometimes it felt for me I wasn't being team player because I was setting my boundaries, but in reality people were respecting the fact that I even was setting my boundary in the first place, and I was still doing my job, and I was still going 100% for it. And at the end of the day, right, getting this recognition reminded me that it's okay to set boundaries. It's okay to set boundaries with anybody, because it is your space they have to respect too. And it is your role they have to respect. And people noticed it. And I feel encouraged me a lot to continue to set my boundaries as I go on. And again, I'm not still 100% there. There's a lot more work to do. There are times where I still slip up and do things that I used to do before. But I catch myself and I'm like, okay, I just won't do that next time.
Yeah, like this kind of goes with what I said in our first episode of the season, where I was talking more about like personal boundaries, I guess. While personal boundaries are a little bit more easier to set, because I guess like if you set a boundary and a friend doesn't respect that boundary, it's a lot easier to, I get like, I keep saying, I guess, oh my goodness, to not be friends with them or to distance yourself, because clearly it's a person not respecting your boundaries. But in a workplace, if somebody doesn't respect your boundaries, you can't really distance yourself or like cut them off. Like, you have to keep working with them. So boundaries are different depending on like where you're setting them, but it's still something you should do and like learn to work around it and like figure out, what do you need to do if somebody disrespected your boundaries mm-hmm. in different settings? How do you handle it? Like, do you communicate? Do you confront? Do you let it pass? But then you're just like, let me watch out for that person because clearly they don't respect me. And it's mm-hmm. it's all up to you and what you want to do. But
right,
it's hard setting boundaries. But mm-hmm. boundaries, I think, is definitely one of the steps. I don't know if it's the first step of dealing with burnout, but mm-hmm. it's one of the steps in helping you decrease the burnout that you have.
Yeah, I totally agree. I feel like it's a work in progress, right? It's a work in progress. I'm trying to find your middle ground, and I don't think avoidance is the best solution for burnout. But
no, it's not.
Yeah, but you know, working through it, right, and finding those pockets of success, whatever mm-hmm. they look like for you, and again, right, seeing what works best for you. It's a very much trial and error type of situation, but again, it's always prioritizing yourself, taking care of yourself in whatever shape or form it comes in, right? Mm-hmm.
And I know we've been talking about a lot of workplace burnout because that's just where we are in our life. But I know that a lot of our listeners, some of them still might be in school. And Carrot is still student Carrot. I'm still in school. So I don't talk about it as much, but I think that's because I've set so many boundaries in terms of like my student self that I forget that it's even there. So did I set boundaries or do I avoid it? I don't know. But like one thing for myself for this year was I only let myself do homework on one weekend day. And I prepare myself during the week for no homework on the weekends. But if I have to, I only work on one of those days. But it's also like, it's management. You need to know when your things are due. I know my things are due on Tuesdays and Sundays, so I work my schedule around it. But setting the boundaries and also, like, I guess, like, being responsible as a student. I know, like, that's not what you want to hear, but, like, being a responsible student really does help with burnout, at least trying to stay on top of it.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that is definitely the road to success when it comes to student burnout, right? Of learning how to manage your time, because I feel like that's the biggest portion of college, right? Or whatever it is, your academic life, right? It takes up such a large portion of your time, whatever it might be. And when you learn how to really manage your time really well in every shape and form, I feel like you can not avoid burnout, but avoid a huge catastrophe of burnout. Mm-hmm. You'll be stressed out is what it will look like. But again, right, stressed out and burnout is two completely different concepts.
Yeah. So, like, I would say now that I've experienced the work world and the student world, I obviously, it's hard to know what it's like because you're still a student, so you don't know the adult life of working. But my advice to you is, at least in college, somewhat treat it like a 9-to-5 in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, make boundaries of when you're going to do your work, but you need to actually stick to them. And I know it's hard. It's easier said than done, but it'll really help. Like, for example, I took 5 classes a semester. My last class ended at 3. I would do homework until 5. After 5, I am done until the next morning for my first class. Like, I wouldn't do anything until my first class, unless my class was later on in the day and I knew that I had to do something, then I would then do it. But, like, back then, like, I wasn't thinking in that way. Like, I didn't know then to do that or think of it in that way. So it's hard because you don't know your future self. Mm-hmm. But you can take my advice if you want, literally. Yeah. And throughout the day, like, give yourself that break. Like, at a job, you get a break. At a job, you get a lunch break. Do not overwork yourself. Do not think that you need to get it all done. Mm-hmm. And one thing that I learned, not until grad school, is it's okay to get an F. Mm-hmm. I, for the first time in my entire life last semester, didn't do an assignment. I did not hand it in. I saw that it was there, and I was like, I don't have the time to do that. So I didn't. And I got a 0. But I still got a 4.0 GPA. So
I was like, that's great. I love it for you. I really like how you were talking about treating school as a 9-to-5. Because I feel like for high school, it was so easy, right? Because you literally, like, your time was set as that. But in college, it gets a lot more difficult, right? Because of the many moving pieces. And I feel like if I would have still treated it as a 9-to-5, that would have been so much more, like, alleviating for me. Because as you very well know, Carrot, right? But to everyone else, I was that person up at 1 a.m. still doing assignments and not sleeping until probably 2 a.m. and constantly working in the morning still, right? Like, I literally did not have a time, like, set to do certain, like, assignments or certain tasks. And so when we begin treating, no, literally, like,
I'd go to bed leaving Kay doing homework. I'd wake up, she's still doing homework. Did she sleep?
Nobody who knows. Who knows? But yeah, but again, it's right, it's like, was I really managing my time well? Probably not, right? But, like, now I feel, you know, we didn't know that's what it would be like also going into the workforce. But also, I think one of the bigger things that you can do for yourself is give yourself grace. Like, I think that's the biggest part, right? We're all taking it one step at a time. We're all learning as we go. It's probably our first time doing anything for the first time ever, right? We're constantly, like, growing. And so give yourself grace. Like, if you fuck up, you fuck up, right? That's something I had to also learn, right? Like, I feel like when it came to academia, it was a bit harder for me because, yes, I did fuck up a few times. And, yes, they were the end of the world for me. But I would still cry through it. But when it came to, like, my work and my work ethic, I genuinely felt like I legit fucked up. Especially because I have a supervisor who's very, like, get things done this way and don't mess up. And if you mess up, it is the end of the world type of person. And so I remember the first time I really messed up, I was on the verge of crying, and I think she realized that. And so we're both looking at each other, and I'm like, I want to cry so bad because I really, really messed up. And then she just, like, looking at me, and she just, like, is shaking her head, and she's like, literally, don't worry about it. Like, you've never messed up. And honestly, this happened like 3 months ago. So, like, I've literally been doing, like, I've never messed up in, like, almost a year and a half. And I really felt like it was the end of the world. And so she's literally staring at me. She was like, you have literally never messed up. It's okay. We're fine. Everyone's fine. It's not that big of a deal. And so I had to learn, right, to give myself grace. I'm going to mess up. It's fine. Grace exists for a reason.
Yeah, I feel it's different from there's a difference between messing up, like, and then, like, not caring. Like, obviously you care. It's okay to make mistakes, but, like, if you're not caring about what you're doing, then I don't really know how to help you there. But it is okay to mess up. It is okay to say or do the wrong thing, especially in your job. And it shouldn't be the end of the world. And whatever you're doing, whether you're a student or you're in the work adulting world, it is just a small aspect of your life. And while it doesn't seem that way sometimes, it really is. And there's so much more to, I can't even think of an example of when I messed up because there's a lot to choose from. It's so much more than that. Like,
yeah.
So it's okay. It's not that bad.
But if anything, your biggest takeaway from all of this should be time management. Give yourself grace.
And boundaries.
Just clear communication and boundaries. That's it. That's your road to success. Will there be bumps in the road? Abso-fucking-lutely. But that's life.
It's life. And I hate, like, saying these things and thinking these things because it just, like, I remember, like, teenage me hearing this crap and you're like, fuck off. But then getting older and realizing, like, I guess they're right. Like, they're right. What they're telling you is right. It's, you don't want it to be true, but it's true. So listen to us, the young and fresh 23-year-olds.
For real. Like, it is literally repeated for a reason by literally everybody.
Yes. So you got this.
Yeah.
Burnout happens. Burnout will continue to happen. But you can go back. You can fix it. Mm-hmm. Set your boundaries. You can prevent it. Mm-hmm. Respect yourself, if anything.
Yeah, especially that one. Above all, respect yourself.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was our episode on burnout. And again, right, I feel like we both have been very clear. We both are still working through it. We're both still managing our own careers, our own lives. So we are also on the road to success with you.
So yeah, we've reached the end of today's episode.
We hope you enjoyed it, and at least took away a little bit of something, right? So yeah, continue to follow us on Instagram at 0 o'clock podcast.
And Twitter on 0 o'clock pod.
And
we'll be back soon with episode 3.
Which I'm really excited about because I managed not to talk about them. Oh, I'm so proud of myself. Besides my little like
little
mention in the beginning of the episode, but whatever, we're gonna ignore that one.
Yeah, I was like, I specifically remember you saying no.
We'll keep the suspense, try to figure it out until our next episode to see what we're talking about. Honestly, it should not be a surprise to anybody.
It's not. We always talk about it.
Yeah.
Honestly, the fact that we went like two whole episodes without going on to a whole, we're doing it right now though.
Yeah. So, anyways.
Okay.
So,
Bye.
bye.